At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This was another big victory by the Fighting Illini as they go into a hostile crowd at the Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana, and take down the Hoosiers. What a marvelous game. You are listening to Illini guy Mike Kegley. And I am going to have on Illini guy director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. We're going to talk about the game a little bit. And then we are going to get a visit from Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guy staff writer Matt Stevens, who are actually over in Purdue. They're probably working on interviews with the coaches and players right now, even as we speak. Kedrick, a lot of positives coming out of this game. What jumps out at you, and what comes out right away when you're looking at a victory that was the largest Illinois victory at in Bloomington since 1956? That was even before you or I were a gleam in our father's eyes.
Well, Mike, thanks again for having me. I'm going to tell you, every podcast I do with Eye on the Illini, I kind of have my theme, and my theme this time is Brad Underwood, Big Ten Coach of the Year. That's my theme. I mean, I'm listening to all these people who are able to vote. You know, they find a reason to give Tom Izzo the award. They're trying to find a reason to give it, you know, to whoever. And let's just call it is what it is. Look at Brad Underwood's record, what he's able to do at Illinois and on the road. You know what? Purdue's supposed to be good. They are good. Illinois is supposed to be good. They are good. But the difference, Illinois has put pieces together, and Coach Underwood is just managing. He is managing a basketball team that is competing for a Big Ten title, and they're doing it. And it's impressive. And so to me, kudos to him. My next thing is seniors die hard, man. I tell you what, Jacob Grandison and Trent Frazier took over today. And I just seen, Kofi didn't put up massive numbers, but I saw the development of him today. I want people to go back and remember what this dude was like when he was a freshman. Kofi has post moves. He is looking to throw the ball out of double teams. And we're going to focus on this game at Indiana, but I really can't wait to see what happens when they go to Purdue. I just know the type of kid he is and the type of coach Brad Underwood is and what his teams do. They're going to be prepared. He's going to be prepared. I just love the fact that Illinois fans, like I've been talking about and I wrote about it, Illinois is in a good place. This, you need to enjoy this. To go to Indiana, to do what they did. And it was really weird, Mike. I'm not a betting man. I don't bet on games. All week, there was Indiana. And 20 minutes before the game started, it shifted to Illinois. I don't know what the difference was. I couldn't tell you. But maybe they looked at Brad Underwood's road record and how effective he is on the road. You can't count him out. He's a really, really good coach, man. Illinois fans, you are lucky to have him. He might not do everything you like, but he's solid.
I would say he is definitely a solid individual, you know, putting together quite a role for this this Illini team, especially on the road. You know, we'll have to do our stat check, but it is an amazing streak that he has put together for this team and for the Big Ten, which basically, you know, many years is can we win all of our game at home? And can we just find a way to split the road games? And he's kind of turned this that whole theory on its head. And pretty incredible, you know, what he's done with that team. And I will tell you, you know, looking at the Illini stats and notes here. So, again, this was the largest victory for Illinois at Indiana since number 8, Illinois, beat number 12, Indiana, 96-72 on January 14th, 1956. Now, the two things that stand out to me is 1956 and the fact that somehow with no three-pointer, Illinois managed to put up 96 points on the number 12 team. But and that 17-point victory was Illinois' largest margin of victory ever in the U of I, or in IU's Assembly Hall, which opened 50 years ago. So that is a pretty amazing afternoon for the Illini team. That and really goes to what you were talking about, the way Coach Underwood has this team playing like a machine on the road.
He does. And the thing, Mike, the players, they all know their roles. They know what's expected of them. Everybody brings a different, you know, piece to the puzzle, which I really and truly like. It's just amazing to me how well of a job they do. And I want to, you know, give kudos again. I don't want anybody tweeting at me, texting me, sending me inbox messages on Twitter or online, guys, talking about Damonte Williams. If you can't see what he brings to this table defensively, the shots that he makes, I don't care if he's not putting up 25 points a game. That's not his game. But the way that kid defends, he is a nightmare for a lot of guys on offense. I'm sorry. You know, as much as Trent scores, and we love how Trent – the worst thing you can do is say something to Trent to piss him off. You can't do that because Trent's a competitor. Damonte is a competitor. You know, one's from Wilmington, Florida, and one's from Peoria, Illinois. And I'm going to tell you, they are diehard seniors. They bring – each one brings something different to the table. And just think back, you know, John Gross had those guys there. They stuck it out. And, you know, COVID, you know, which we all know we're sick of that. You know, granted, you know, the Illinois fans another year to have both of those guys there. What a nice addition to have and for the younger guys to follow them. I'm just amazed at how well they gelled. They just, you know, some like Jacob Grandison. I mean, I don't know. If he is the best passer to Kofi they have on the team from the top of the key. Maybe Corbello, but we haven't seen a lot of that this year. So people may question, why does Jacob Grandison play so much? Why is he this? There's things like that you have to be able to see. And this is what the coaches get paid that money for. They make adjustments. They made adjustments at the half. I thought coming out second half, they were going to punish Kofi. You know what? Brad made adjustments. And Kofi, traditionally, he doesn't foul a lot. So just overall, this is just a good situation. You know, for the kids, the team, and overall, looking back and not looking back, excuse me, moving forward, if I had one critique of them, the free throw shooting is a concern for me. It is overall. That's my only negative. You know, you go to school, everybody wants that A+ on the paper. I just have to give them an A because if they can figure out the free throw shooting, they can't compete with anybody in the country.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. And I'll tell you, here's how I put down the game, and I'm gonna give it to you in about three steps here. 13-11 left in the half. Indiana goes up 46-42. Jacob Grandison comes down after Kofi gets a defensive rebound. Jacob Grandison hits a three-pointer on an assist by Trent Frazier. Trace Jackson Davis misses a shot. Kofi gets the rebound. Frazier finds Jacob Grandison open yet again. And all of a sudden, it's 2 3-pointers in a row and a 42-46 deficit turns into 48-46 Illinois. And if you take from the 13-11 mark, the Illini outscored the Hoosiers 32-13. And I think a lot of it had to do is when Grandison hit those two shots, Thompson or whoever's guarding him, you know, later on, if Thompson's out, they have to come out to 20 feet to contest the shot now. And when they do that, Kofi's now open on the inside. And at the same time, there's with this going on, Frazier's able to find spots on the floor, spacing, and he goes nuts. And, you know, it's a team effort because you got it, you know, like I said, Frazier's the one who got the assists out there. But, it, you know, all of a sudden the offense is much harder to deal with. And to me, that was the moment that the game changed. What do you think?
Well, here's that. Coach on this post radio. And Trent, you know, Trent got on the roll. And also, you know, him making free throws down the stretch, which was huge too. So that was the change of the game. I mean, and once Illinois, you know, got up and three-point shooting was against Purdue, they've kind of struggled as a team. So today it was kind of nice to see, you know, Trent get a couple to go down. Jacob got a few to go down. I thought a play that really could have been a dagger for Illinois and kind of buried them was when Plummer got those two threes in the corner that he missed. Typically, he makes both of those anyway. I thought, oh, this isn't good. But they kept going, you know, and then they kept going at it. But then he started attacking the basket. This team and this the whole gel is nice. But also, let's give kudos to Coleman Hawkins. This kid has taken a beating for a week on social media. He came in today. I thought his defense was better. I thought he helped the team today. And obviously, Brad Underwood had confidence in him today to keep him on the floor, even in the second half. So all the people out there that are ready to throw him away to the Wolves, get rid of it. Because he's a competitor, and he helped the team today. This is more than a one-person gig. They all bring to the table.
Yeah, I was happy. You know, Luke Goody got ended up getting a three-pointer early, which was nice. Also had a couple of rebounds out there. I know it was the letter of the law, and I don't know, you know, like I said, a flagrant one, but you can't put both hands, you know, around the waist of a player when they're kind of going around you. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I thought he played well. Melendez had a little bit on the turnover thing, but he also, in typical Melendez fashion, you know, finds a way to get a rebound, and also had, you know, a couple of assists in there as well. Omar Payne wasn't in very long, but, you know, he managed to get a steal when he was out there and a board. It, you know, the bench contributed a little bit, and Curbelo played 12 minutes, scored 3 points. But I thought his contribution was good, and I really do like the discipline with which they're playing him, kind of ramping him up. And I got to be honest with you, if we end up with a healthy and confident Curbelo for the Big Ten and NCAA tourney, I don't mind a loss here or there because they fought the urge to have him play a 30-minute game or a 40-minute game. What did you think about the you know, having Curbelo out there and any other thoughts on the way the roster played today?
Well, having Curbelo is nice because it gives Trent a blow.
Yep.
And Underwood said in his press conference, I believe it was yesterday, that they ran him harder the day before. His conditioning is going to be a factor, but having him on the court, he's special. And you know what? You're going to have five good things and maybe one or two bad, but you got to take that because they are better with him on the team, you know, with him on the team and on the court. Today, it was good to see Luke Goody get in today against Indiana to hit a shot.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, too, and also RJ. RJ had to turn the ball over. But again, Underwood is showing that he's trusting his guys and he can go to the bench and then and that they're not going to hurt them and kill them. I think they've been around long enough now to know when to shoot, when not to shoot, who to get the ball to in certain key situations. So I'm impressed with that. I think, you know, long-term, you know, moving into the postseason play, which we're only, you know, several weeks away, you know, you get into a one-game tournament, you know, setting and somebody gets in foul trouble, you're going to need them. You know, again, though, but to me, good teams play defense. Defense carries. I just, and I know we harped on this just the last segment, what you before, we got to shoot free throws better than that. They just have to. You can't go to the line. To me, when I coach and I tell kids, you miss free throws, that's a turnover to me. It's an automatic turnover. And then they come out on the court and score. You can't do that. So, you know, good teams find ways to win. Illinois is doing that. The bench is deep. You know, the future is bright. Again, it's going to be a different look when Trent DeMonte are gone. I know I've said that 10 times, but I just value what they bring to the table. And just their confidence and how it rubs off on other people. And Trent being vocal. I remember when he first got there, he was talented, but he wasn't as vocal. He's vocal now. And it's, to me, the trash talking on the court is fun. You know, I just, as long as it's in good spirit, because I'm going to tell you what, Trent is a master at it. But when the games are over, he's really complimentary to the players. He's always hugging kids, and when most guys are giving handshakes, it's just in fun to Trent. That's who he is, and I'm going to miss that about him.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be tough without, you know, as they do, and that's why I look at it as let's just enjoy each game, you know, as we get a chance to watch this season unfold. The team is you know, starting to round into form just like a Underwood team does every year. But there were more obstacles to getting there this year than maybe any other year of Underwood's career.
And they do get better in the second half. That's what's really weird.
Yes.
You know, they get better and better and better. And he talked to us before about maybe doing something different, which we've talked about before, Mike, in the preseason. But honestly, man, they do. And today surprised me. Today, well, I was impressed. I thought today would be a tough go, and then I thought Tuesday would be a tough go, and I thought, man, you know what? This is going to be a tough stretch for the team and to the fans, but if you could have split. Now, I mean, after what you saw today, it's possible they could come in and win both games.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm not as hopeful on that just based on the fact, and this is where, you know, you get old and a little bit bitter, but so many years of going to Mackey Arena – and, you know, you just don't, like, for instance, when, you know, teams can come into the State Farm Center and shoot free throws, you know, against the Illini, like Purdue did, 32-15, you know, when they won the double overtime thriller a few weeks back on Martin Luther King Day. You know, teams can come in and outshoot the Illini by, you know, 10, 12 free throw attempts. I'd have to go back game by game, but that happens so incredibly rare over at Mackey. And my concern is regardless of the number of elbows that Kofi took to the face, regardless of the fact that that was, you know, probably the progenitor of a concussion, you know, I expect the first time Kofi puts a hand on somebody, most likely, you know, Bo and Larry will be reffing the game and boom, you know, they like being on camera and it'll be a foul. I would love to see a game where the refs didn't make such a difference. You know, even today with while Trace Jackson Davis is certainly not the player Kofi is, and at 6'9" and 245, it's hard to believe that you look like a hobbit next to another person. But you know, but I, you know, again, I'd rather seen, you know, him be out on the floor most of the first half. I actually think they played better when he wasn't on the floor tonight. Did you notice that yourself? What did you think the difference was, you know, with the team going into the halftime with a 4-point lead with him out of the game for most of the first half? Versus a 2-point lead, I apologize, versus a team that got the doors blown off it with him out there the whole time in the second half.
I'm sorry, Mike, you cut off. Who were you talking about? Trace?
Yeah, with Trace.
They are a better team. I thought they were looking to force the ball into him. And, you know, you're not going to move Kofi. You're just not going to.
Nope.
He moves his feet better than what people give him credit for. Coach Underwood said that today, too, as well. I just knew going to the second half they were going to force him, and they got out of rhythm. You know, that's not what kept the game close. You know, I think sometimes some coaches will go and say, hey, I bet we know our best player didn't do this and our best player didn't do that. So the bottom line is, you know what? You knew they were going to. Then they forced it. Then they, you know, they got out of rhythm.
Yep. And I think the other thing that was such a killer is when you focus the offense and you force the ball inside on a guy that, you know, again, you know, Trace Jackson Davis going to have his share of good games. But when you're going to do a half-court set, he's not going to be able to out-muscle Kofi on the inside. Now, if you get some fast breaks, you might get some time where he gets open. You have some more motion in the offense, and maybe somebody loses him on the weak side. But boy, when you just feed it in and Kofi gets to plant his feet and play defense, that's just a rough thing to do. And obviously the whole team kind of paid for that choice of how we're going to try to deal with, you know, with our offense. I thought they played, they looked to share the ball much better in yep. In the first half. And I thought they moved the ball better, but the other part is at some point in time, and it goes back to kind of what you said, and I even tweeted about it. I'm like, let's not wait till the second half to shoot well and play better and play good defense.
Yeah.
And they totally, you know, ignored my suggestion. And at the same time, ended up winning by 17 points. So my suggestion was pretty much meaningless. Could do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I don't really think – this is just me personally. Trace Jackson Davis is a big kid. I don't think he's a five. I just don't think he's a center.
I agree. He's a four.
He's not one. Yes, he is. And because he's the biggest guy on Indiana's team, he's forced to have to go against guys like Kofi. He should be going against guys like DeMonte, who's typically guarding the four, or Jacob Granderson, because that's just not his game. And I know you mentioned before the year, the Indiana fans were kind of upset with him. You know what? Kofi's a five. He's a legitimate center in college basketball. You know, going against Williams, he will be – I think he will fare well against Williams, because Edie from Purdue, he wouldn't. He wouldn't do well against him. So, you know, it's about matchups, you know, and Edie's a tough matchup for everybody, not just Purdue, Michigan State, it's Illinois, everybody. So, and that's where Kofi is. You know, Trace Jackson Davis, the numbers were similar, but his shooting percentage against Kofi is awful. It's not good at all in any game, because he'll compete. It takes him a lot of shots to get there, like it does Jaden Ivey and a few other kids. But for the most part, I just know he owns him. And what's nice, they don't have to play them again. It's only a one-time game. So winning up there was huge.
Yeah. And Edie, I just – for people who are a little bit older, they'll remember this reference. But basically, he's Mark Eaton. You know, who used to play for Utah. You know, he's just so big that he forces a lot of weird situations, because, you know, when you play against Zach, pretty much, you know, these centers like Kofi, you know, two games a year, or however many times they play Purdue, are the only time he really faces somebody significantly bigger than him. And it's kind of a unique moment every time somebody plays him. And that gives Edie a pretty good advantage, and obviously the man has arms that are 9 miles wide. He knows how to clear space with them using the elbows, and good shot blocker. But yeah, I really felt like Jackson Davis was kind of asked to do kind of the impossible task, and I think if you would get Coach Woodson, he probably would say that I'm not going to have Jackson Davis get into a bench press competition against Kofi, and we'd all say that's probably a good idea. And with this one, trying to get your 6'9", 245 guy to kind of bang and push his way in on the 7-foot, 290-pounder, just it didn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, I know it's hard to do, but I really think a lot of times Jackson Davis and Thompson, you basically are playing with two fours. And there's a reason why just about any level of basketball, you don't play with two fours.
No, you don't. And that's what kind of bit them. You know, I agree with you. Everybody wants that dominant big, but it's a matchup problem. And I like what Illinois does as far as isolating Kofi and getting him in scoring position. I can tell you right now, if he doesn't catch the ball at the free throw line or the second block on the free throw line, if Kofi gets the ball on the block itself, he'll be effective against Edie because Edie will foul him. But if he pushes him out, he won't be. I mean, I think, you know, and I've seen people talk about him being up for, you know, all Big Ten. No, I'm sorry. I mean, he's 7'4", and I know Kofi's 7 foot, but he doesn't have the numbers or near the things that these other big guys are doing. I just think other kids are doing things better. But now you're going to see the adjustments. We're going to see what Coach Underwood has up his sleeve to go up to Purdue. And I'm telling you right now, there'll be no extra motivation needed for that game at all.
Yeah, and I mean, even as I'm sitting here, I'm watching Edie just dominate Hunter Dickinson on the inside.
Oh, my. He is.
And you can see, you know, just that height gives a lot of guys problems. And then, and you know, the bottom line is there's just so much more that a regular center who's not just supposed to be tall and stay right around the lane is asked to do. Any other thoughts as we wrap up here? Because this was a great victory. We got to see an awful lot out of Frazier and Grandison to lead the team kind of out of a rough spot. Any other things that maybe you wanted to put out there before we move over and see how Brad and Matt saw the game?
Yep. I'm going to say this again. Get to your cell phone and your computers. Google Big Ten standings again and see who's at the top. Enjoy this win. I don't have a word to say about the officiating. You know, I'm not going to. I could care less about it. You take the win. You're in first place. It's a grinded off season. The second half of the season right now, it's about winning. It's about winning and surviving. No matter what it looks like, you have to win, whether it's 1 point or 17 points.
Very good, Ken. I agree with you. I have to admit, I really felt like Illinois is a bad matchup for Indiana. But if you would have, you know, I would have never dared to predict a 17-point victory at Assembly Hall. And that was a very enjoyable way to spend my late morning, early afternoon on a Saturday. So anytime the Illini want to go out and clean house on the road like this, I am all for it. So there we are, folks. That was Kedrick Prince. Yeah, exactly. That was Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting for the Illini guys. And you can also catch him on Ked's Recruiting Roundup, which is a podcast that he does. You can follow that podcast and get it delivered, you know, subscribe to it, get it delivered to your phone. You can also go on to our front page on IlliniGuys.com and download it when it comes out, because we put it there as well for people. Very unique view of what recruiting is when he talks to players, coaches, parents, and you kind of see the other side. It's not just some analyst or some basketball guru, which Ked is, talking about, you know, players and breaking them down, but actually talking to players, to coaches, and to parents about their recruiting experience. So that's a neat thing. We also have Sturdy for 30. Brad's going to be coming up in a couple seconds here. We're going to have him on, but Brad has his Sturdy for 30 podcast. You definitely want to listen to that. It is well worth it. Again, the same way you can subscribe to it through your podcast distributor. You can also go onto our homepage and take a look at it. And of course, you can subscribe here to Eye on the Illini as well. And of course, these are great things to share with your friends who are Illini fans. If they have to be in the car for a few minutes, it's a nice way to commute and listen to Illini stuff. You don't have to worry about any of the politics of the day or anything like that. It's just talking about the Illini. And the other thing is, of course, you can go to IlliniGuys.com. You can subscribe there for only $99 a year. When you subscribe there, you'll get access to everything we've got, including the message boards. And that's where we can tell you what's going on behind the scenes. And there's some things that we just can't, you know, because people aren't willing to go on record. So there's rumors, innuendos that we can talk about there that wouldn't really qualify as a full-blown news story. But when the news story actually breaks, you have an idea of what caused it to break the way it did. So that is perfect. And we have a 7-day free trial. So you can be on the board for 6-7 days and then decide if you want to keep it or not. You won't get charged until day 7. So that's also a huge, huge benefit that a lot of folks have talked about. And finally, you have Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, the 2-hour radio experience that is every week on Fridays or Saturdays, depending on your local channel. If you go to IlliniGuys.com, click on radio, it will take you to a list of the 25 stations who carry our show and what times they carry it. And you can find the one closest to you and feel free to listen to Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. So now we're going to pivot over to Matt and Brad. And here we are on the Iridium satellite phone. We have Brad Sturdy, the Illini Guys Iridium satellite phone. And Brad, we have you just got out of the assembly hall over there in Bloomington, Indiana. You saw a really competitive first half, despite having Trace Jackson-Davis Davis out of the lineup. And then a second half, he comes back into the lineup, and all of a sudden, Jacob Grandison, Trent Frazier take over. What was it like from your perspective, and what jumped out at you?
Well, I think in the first half, I thought Illinois did some good things in the first half on the defensive end, but they fouled him. And I thought that the just continuously fouling jump shooters, putting them on the line, allowed Indiana to stay in the game. And then the second half, they stopped committing those fouls and they pulled away. And I think also, you know, of course you get the whole Kofi stepped up in the second half. It's pretty clear that, you know, you look over their careers, Trace Jackson Davis does not love playing against Kofi Coburn. It's a tough matchup for him because, you know, and Matt and I were talking about this on Press Row when, Trace Jackson Davis bumps normal people. He kind of gains a little room and then gets a shot off. Well, you saw that he bumped Kofi. Kofi didn't move, and then he went up to shoot it, and Kofi threw it out of there. So, yeah. Late in the game. So those are the kind of things that I think are different, and you can't really simulate that. Then, you know, Jacob Grandison and Trent Frazier, you know, you mentioned them. I thought Trent was fantastic all day long. Handles the ball, made shots, got to the rim, created. Defended, did a little bit of everything. I mean, he's the best two-way player in the Big Ten. I really believe that. I mean, there are a few guys that can do what he does on both ends of the floor, perimeter-wise. And then Jake Grandison has a terrible start, gets two fouls, commits a couple turnovers, forces a shot. And it's just weird. Starts off so slowly. All of a sudden, second half, he comes out those two big shots, shoots it without – hesitation right there, just broke that game kind of open there. It went from down to up, and then they just pulled away the rest of the way. And I thought Indiana, you know, their fan base left early, but I thought Indiana kind of, as a whole team, staff, everything, they kind of quit. And they were kind of just done. They thought they were going to lose, and it happened.
Yeah. Matt, what did you see from your vantage point next to Brad there on Press Row?
Yeah, the same thing. Well, a lot of the same things that Sturdy saw, and we did talk a lot about the matchup with Kofi and Trace. And quite honestly, I think Trace is a really good player. I just don't think it's a fair matchup for him. And what they're asking him to do, and what Woody and that staff are asking him to do, quite honestly, without another big that can just, I don't know, like guard Kofi and let Trace kind of, you know, not have to use that kind of energy on both ends of the floor. It's really just not fair because there are times in which he knows if Kofi catches this ball as deep as he wants to, there's nothing I can do about it. And I really thought, you know, they brought Durr in the first half, meaning IU did, and it really bothered Kofi because he couldn't catch the ball where he wanted. And then when he did, he couldn't turn and physically dominate Durr like he can Jackson Davis, and it really kind of made him have to adjust the way they want. The fact is that the pieces don't fit here yet in Woody's first year at Indiana, and quite honestly, in Brad's fifth year here at Illinois, they fit just perfectly. I think you saw better defense, you saw better ball movement, you saw better shots, and you just saw better execution on both ends of the floor because I think of what Underwood's been talking about, which is, you know, I detailed it before this game started on Twitter, but you've got 23 and 24-year-olds in your starting lineup that you're counting on, like Trent Frazier and Demonte Williams and Jacob Granderson and Kofi Coburn's 23. You know, Indiana's an older team too, but there's a lot of trust going on with this coaching staff that they're going to figure it out through a 40-minute game. And this is another example in a hostile environment where they just did that. They just figured it out and did it in a very, very impressive way. And I would tell you that I think that this is one of the more impressive wins of the season for Illinois, only because it's away from Champaign, and it's a pretty dominant, especially in the second half, a dominant performance against a team that I think is going to end up in the NCAA tournament too. So you continue to just stockpile really, really impressive wins as the season goes on. Mike, I think it was about a month ago, I said, hey, look, this team doesn't have a signature win. They don't have premier wins right now, but they're going to have a whole lot of opportunities to get them, and now they're starting to get them.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, I wasn't that worried, but right. that comes from, you know, I just look at their defense. Here's an interesting one. The last time, and we talked about this with Ked before you guys got on, Brad Sturdy, Matt Stevens, the beat reporter for IlliniGuys.com. But basically, this was the 17-point margin was Illinois' biggest margin of victory at Indiana since number 8 Illinois beat number 12 Indiana 96-72 on January 14th, 1956, which I believe is Brad's birthday. Brad?
No, it's your birthday, Mike. I didn't even have my parents weren't, I don't know, were they married at that point? Maybe. I don't know. So
certainly not my birthday, so I'm out.
So basically Brad's an illegitimate child, folks. That's what I'm taking from
this. I was 13 years before I was born, Matt, or Mike. So 13 years before I was born. So
that's 11 more than 11 more than me. But I'll tell you what, I tell you, let me ask you this question, because I asked this to Ked. But did it surprise you, and maybe the game plan is what caused this, but did it surprise you, I'll start with Brad first, then Matt, did it surprise you that Indiana played better with the type of offense that they played with Trace out of the game than they did the second half that they got blown out, when they were really asking Trace Jackson Davis to be a five and play in the paint against Kofi? And we've already seen last year what happens when that gets done. But were you surprised at the half that they actually had their all-star that they got pasted so bad, Brad?
No. And here's my thing. I thought Illinois was going to win this game. I didn't necessarily think they were going to beat them by 17.
Yep.
But I thought Illinois was going to win this game. Here's the thing. If Illinois doesn't foul the jump shooters in the first half, and most of the fouls were on jump shooters on tough shots, runners, difficult pull-ups, mid-range shots. If Illinois doesn't foul them, they probably – and if they make their free throws and layups, Illinois is probably up 10 at halftime.
Right.
And so I looked at that and said, that's probably going to change. They're going to win the second half by 10, get an 8-point win, and fine. Trace Jackson Davis is a really good player, but Matt mentioned this. He's not a good matchup against Kofi, and that's on both ends because Kofi guards him too. That doesn't mean he's never going to score, but Kofi really does a good job defensively on him because he knows he's going left and he's strong enough to hold his position when he gets bumped. And not many guys are able to do that. And I think, you know, Kofi, I was talking to Jeff Alexander, Illinois assistant coach, after the game. He said, you know, Kofi doesn't do well in the morning. It's 11 a.m. Central time. So it got to noon and he woke up. So it sounds funny, but he's not wrong. I mean, Kofi just, the big fella, it takes him some time to get all the stuff moving in the morning. So that's there's something to be said for that as well.
But you got to get all the electrons and protons going from from the top of his head all the way down to the end of his toes, and it's 7 feet and 290 pounds.
That's a ton of surface area that you have to cover.
That's exactly it. So Matt, what did you think of the Illini bench today? Because there were some key contributions. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, it was a bench that had to be used because Jacob Granderson got into early foul trouble. And so you've got to figure out what you're doing here. And what they were doing here is they've got a guy in Race Thompson who they think is a really difficult matchup because of his length and because of his size and because of his strength at the four. So this was a game where, guess what? They needed Coleman Hawkins real bad. And they got a good Coleman Hawkins, at least on the defensive end of the floor. And then when, you know, you needed to, you know, pull Coleman Hawkins and let him sit down for a little bit. At that point, you're kind of going, okay, where do we go? And they figured out, okay, now we can go to the two freshmen. We can go to RJ and we can go to Luke and they can spell us for this first half run that we need. And again, I use the word trust. Brad Underwood's starting to trust those two freshmen. I don't think that they're going to be major players down the stretch of this deal because I think Jacob Granderson's going to be an integral piece in what they do and who they are. And I don't think Jacob's going to get two early fouls every time. But there's a trust there that if they need that three spot, if they need that wing to be covered, whether it's Jake or whether it's DeMonte, they can now go to Luke and they can go to RJ. And they think they can get a good 10 minutes out of Coleman Hawkins. And that's going to be key for this Illini team going forward, just from a depth perspective. But, I mean, to add on to what you asked, Brad, like I wasn't shocked either because – this Indiana team practically did it for about 38 minutes against Purdue without Trace. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Adrenaline is a hell of a drug. It literally brings people back to life medically. When you know that your big boy is sitting over there and your star is sitting over there and he's going to come back after the halftime buzzer, you can crack that whip and go to the whip real early and say, hey, if we can survive this, Trace is going to come back in the second half and all will be good and all will be well. I think that's how Indiana felt. The problem is that, you know, they didn't account for the idea that Illinois was playing pretty terribly in that first 20 minutes as well. And they looked up at the scoreboard and were like, huh, we're only down two. This is interesting. Like, I mean, it was not, I think both teams went to the locker room feeling pretty good. And I think Indiana underestimated how good Illinois was feeling only being down two.
Yep. Brad, what did you think about the usage of Payne and Curbelo? Any thoughts on that?
Well, that was good. I mean, Omar Payne did a really – how about the job that he did on Trace? He forced two turnovers.
Yep.
One-on-one against him. Omar, that's – but here's the thing. Trace is a really good matchup for Omar because he has the ability to move his feet. And he also has the ability to – he has length.
Yep.
So it's not like he's not over. And Trace, although he's physical, isn't like, you know, Zach Edey physical, you know, or Kofi physical. So those are things that you just kind of look at and you say, you know what? Hey, that's a good job. And then I thought Curbelo, although he maybe didn't have like this great game and do great, he was frustrated with himself after the game. But here's the thing. Andre Curbelo he changes the flow of games when he comes in because he can get in the paint. I mean, basically, they have a difficult time staying in front of him. Now, he missed some of those floaters again, floater, whatever it is. He's really got the ability to break down a defense. And when things go stagnant, and if you've got a guy like him, and let's say Plummer plays 30 minutes and Trent plays 35, you get Curbelo for 15 minutes spelling those two guys, or if one of them gets in foul trouble, you go to Curbelo, you feel pretty good about that. I thought the one thing I thought Curbelo did better today, he defended better.
Yep.
Made an impact on the defensive end, and he was playing pretty well. He got flustered when he got tripped, and there was no call.
Right,
and that's where he's got to get better at controlling his emotions in those situations.
You know, and the one thing I really liked about Curbelo today was that Underwood didn't overuse him. I kind of like this idea about keeping him around 12 to 15 minutes, roughly. I'm not certain if Underwood has got a number, or, you know, a pitch limit, so to speak. But to me, it's like, let's take the time, get him into shape so that he's prepared and ready to go, maybe like this, you know, quote, full time during the Big Ten tournament and see how that works to prepare for the NCAA tournament versus throwing him out there for a, you know, a 30-minute spell or something. And then you find out that he pulls a hamstring or something that's going to be bothering him for the rest of the season. Matt, any thoughts on that?
I think if Alphonso Plummer is not a defensive minus, it's hard to take him off the floor. And I thought today he wasn't a defensive minus. And so that's why Fonz plays, let me just double check, like 33 minutes and Curbelo plays 12. Now that's not to say that Curbelo was a defensive minus and that he didn't deserve to get more minutes, but you need Alphonso Plummer shooting out there. And if he's, and the only reason you really take him out of the game, as we saw, like say in the Northwestern game, is when they put Pods in, was to sub him out for defensive purposes. Well, if you don't have to do that, like he didn't today, and I keep going back to it, but Miller Kopp had a big donut, 0 points today, and he was mostly guarded by a wing, and it was mostly Alphonso Plummer. Let's be honest, like he's not going to be a defensive minus for me. I need to be having him out there on offense. And so I thought Curbelo did a really good job of running the team for about 10 minutes out of that point position and letting Trent recharge the batteries a little bit. And that's just going to be so key for Illinois going forward. I also thought there was some veteran stuff that Curbelo did that normally has like gone against him. But today, I mean, he went to Bo Borowski and said, look, I'm going to get literally hugged and grabbed in about 5 seconds, and you need to call it and you need to look for it. And sure enough, like on an inbounds, he got hugged and he got grabbed and Xavier Johnson got called for a foul. And I thought it changed the whole dynamic of the second half, because that grab and hold essentially, and that hand check that they were allowing Xavier Johnson to do for a good long period of time against Trent Frazier got flipped in that second half. And I'm not saying that Illinois got a great whistle in the second half, but I'm saying to you that Curbelo had a savviness to say, like, look, I'm going to let you know that I'm not thrilled with the way that I'm being officiated here. And at least with Bo Borowski, he looked at it and said, you know, maybe the kid's got a point, and started to figure out, well, no, he needs to give him some room on defense. And I thought, you know, Indiana had to back off a little bit. And when they backed off a little bit, that's when the ball movement started to be great. And that's when the post entries to Kofi were really good. So there were a lot of things today that I thought Bello did that were veteran savvy plays out of a sophomore that you just don't normally see. And I'm with you, Kags. I think that if you play him about 15 minutes a game, if somewhere between 15 and 20, that would be the optimal for me, because you've got a really good shot of getting incredibly good Bello for 15 and 20 minutes. And if you play him closer to 30 minutes, I think you've got a chance to get double agent bad Bello for a couple of that. And I think Underwood's doing this the right way, not only for his own conditioning, but also for the team, how the team works right now, because Alphonso Plummer, guys, is just slowly but surely starting to become more of a, you know, at least a defensive neutral instead of a defensive minus that he was early in the year.
Yep. One, two other quick questions for you, Brad. It looks like Underwood did his second half defense magic trick that he normally does, you know, holding Indiana to sub 30% from the field in the second half. Is just, you know, pretty amazing. And then the second thing that I had a question about, or have you comment on, so Illinois was at a magical zero fast break points. Is that something that Underwood will look to change, or is that something that's just a part of the focus that they're doing with the defense and controlling boards and not looking to necessarily push the ball?
Well, we'll talk about the first defense. They just executed in the second half. They stopped fouling. I thought their game plan was really good. Trent is elite getting through those screens. He got screened a little bit this first half. It allowed them to maybe get some buffs, but also it was everybody, you know. But I thought when you forced Indiana to either have Trace Jackson Davis going one-on-one against Kofi or Omar, or you have Reese Thompson going one-on-one against Damonte Williams, if that's their whole offense, you really have forced them into some difficult, tough two-point shots, yep. Not really at the rim. So that was the defensive game plan. I thought it was really good. Now, on to your second point, fast break points. Illinois doesn't force a lot of turnovers. So when you don't force a lot of turnovers, you're not going to get a lot of fast breaks. You know, it's and Illinois wants to run it. When you have a guy like Curbelo, they're going to push it a little more. But when you have Kofi, you know, you want to run your half-court offense through him. They have guys – really the only guy who's a great shooter in transition is Trent. Trent's really good in transition threes. So they don't have a ton of guys who are running shoot guys. And so they're more foot set guys, except Plummer. And, you know, he's – you know, it's a little different. And I think if he gets out and runs, that's fine. But overall, you're not going to see them be a great transition team. Doesn't mean they're not going to get a few points here and there. But they want to keep the other team out of transition because they feel like in just half-court defense – And they are. They are, I think, right now, 95th percentile in half in just half-court defense. So that's fantastic. And that's what you want from a team. And that's why they want to play half-court. And it doesn't mean they don't push it when there's opportunities. But they really haven't had the depth to do that. Now they've kind of got some confidence. You get Bello in there, he comes in with some energy and can just play all out for five to six minutes. That really – allows you to maybe get a little transition, but also it just gives those guys a break and they can be fresh. You got to remember this season they played without Andre Curbelo and he's still not 100%, you know, conditioning wise. They played without Kofi Coburn. So it's easy to say you want to run, but when you don't have a lot of depth, it makes it a little harder.
Yep. So Matt, we've talked about quite a few things here. Why don't you give me your closing thoughts on this victory and anything that we haven't talked about?
Quickly on the transition stuff, Mike, I think the second five is your guys that want to get out and go. And what I mean by that is you got Bello on the ball. Maybe you have RJ at the wing. Maybe you have Luke on the wing. But then you have Omar running from bucket to bucket. And you also have Coleman running from bucket to, like, running out, you know, as your four guy on the break. I think this team does a really good job of when Brad does, like, the hockey style substitutions like he normally does. That's the time to go. Like, because if you had a lineup of, like, that maybe includes Bello, Payne, Hawkins, and maybe one of the other wings, whether it's RJ or whether it's Luke, that team can go, man. And the other team understands, hey, we got to get back. And that's why you see them not send a whole lot of guys to the glass. In Illinois' first unit, you see them sending a whole bunch of guys to the glass because, I mean, Trent's going to play 38 minutes. So him dead sprinting for 38 minutes isn't going to fly. Like, and so I just think that's the way they play it right now. And that's kind of what you're seeing. That I just don't think there's a whole lot of fast break points because there's not a fast break unit that's out there a whole lot. My closing thought is that I heard or saw that Sturdy said this earlier in the week. We're now at the point where, you know, early next week, there's going to be a game at Mackey Arena that's going to decide who wins the Big Ten, in my opinion. And we're at that point now, because I wasn't sure Illinois was going to win this game today. And now that they've won it, again, they're out. If it's a horse race, they're out in front right now. And I think the only team that can catch them is the team they're going to play in Mackey early next week. And we're going to find out how good this Illinois team is when they go to a really, really tough environment and try to get another really, really solid quad one road win. But this team just keeps picking up quad one wins and impressive wins and doing it in dominant fashion and playing 40 minutes of basketball that Underwood can trust right now with older guys. And, you know, I'll complete it with what I've said. I said it after the win against Michigan State. I said it after the win against Northwestern. I said it after the win against Wisconsin. I'll say it today. This team just has a maturity about it that not a whole lot of teams have right now and around the country. And I think it will serve them well as they go through this last month and a half of basketball leading into the most important time, which is March.
Yep. Good. So Brad, let you wrap it up here. What are your final thoughts or takeaways that anybody can, you know, take away and until, you know, you put a column out there, what do they want to keep in mind?
Well, I'm going to mention two things. One, I thought it was fantastic that Underwood commended Bo Borowski for saying he missed the call. As a coach, I have so much respect for an official who says, hey, man, I missed that. I don't know. This is what I saw. This is what happened. Instead of being that guy, because instead of being that guy who's standoffish and just kind of a jerk, and that's where you know, a lot of fans don't love Bo because he's got that little bit of that TV Teddy. You know, he makes the big call and he sells it, which that's just his personality. But he actually, you know, the fact that he'll do that, I thought it was great that he commended him for that because, you know, and we like to, you know, bag on Bo Borowski and all these guys. I'm telling you, college coaches aren't upset when Bo Borowski's on the game. Fans are, but the college coaches are not. That's one. My second thing is Illinois is in 10-2 in the Big Ten, 17-5 overall. Literally, this team should be in the top 10 Monday. If they're not in the top 10, you know, everybody said, well, they don't have quad one wins. Well, now you got quad one wins. Well, they haven't done that. They've done everything that they need to do to be in that top 10. And that matchup in Mackey's going to be fun. But here's the thing. Andy Katz said it the other night, and I think he may be right. Illinois and Purdue may play four times this year. They may play in Mackey. I think they're going to play in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game. And then I think they're going to play in the Final Four in New Orleans. That is legit possibility. That's how good these two teams are. And I think they're starting to kind of showcase that dominance in this league. And if Illinois can win at Purdue, I think then they're two games up, no more matchups, they're in the driver's seat. If they lose, well, you're tied and now you got a battle. But I really like where the way Illinois is playing. This is a fully healthy Illinois team is a team that can make the Final Four.
Excellent. So there you have it, folks, coming out of the historic win out of Indiana, the Illini come ahead 74-57. Biggest ever defeat of the Hoosiers at the IU's Assembly Hall for the Illini. And that's a 50-year streak, largest margin the Illini have ever put up on them. And, of course, the 17-point victory was the largest margin since 1956. So when you're thinking about this team and you're thinking about the super seniors, particularly the two who've been here for years, Williams and Frazier, try to appreciate these moments because as Illini fans, I've been at this for a long time, and there's very few times coming out of Assembly Hall that I've felt this good after a victory. And I think the last time was Nick Anderson. So it's been quite a while. So savor it a little bit. There's going to be a lot of great moments along the way. The next game coming up is at Purdue on Tuesday night. We will have a podcast right after the game that you'll be able to download, get our feedback on what is going on with the Illini. I think that one will be a Sturdy for 30 production that night. But please be looking out for that because that will be one heck of a game. And we're expecting the whole nation's eyes to be turned on this as it'll probably be the game of the night in college basketball. So with that, this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley giving out a thank you to Illini Guy's Director of Recruiting, Kedrick Prince, Illini Guy's Staff Writer, Matt Stevens, and, of course, my fellow Illini Guy, Brad Sturdy. We will talk to everyone later, and go Illini.